Please turn with me in your Bibles in John chapter 9, verses 23 through 13 through 23. You can find also the passage printed in your bulletins as well. John chapter 9, verses 13 through 23. This is the Word of God. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud in my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things, such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews didn't believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see now?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. And the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you revealed this to John, who wrote it, and we can read it together, knowing that this is your word, inspired by you. And we thank you that you have also given to us the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual things. We know that in our own strength and our own understanding, we won't be able to come to this passage or any passage of the Bible and read it, understand it, and believe it. It is a miracle that you have given to us through our regeneration. We thank you for that. We thank you for the new life that we have in Christ that allow us to say that we trust in you, that we know who you are, our Lord Jesus. So we pray that as we consider this portion, that you will help us to meditate in these words and to be ministered by them. That also as we meditate in these words, that you prepare our hearts to partake together of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. "What do you say about him?" was the question that the religious leaders asked the blind man that Jesus healed. What do you say about him? What do you say about Jesus? This is the most consequential question that you will ever be asked. What do you say about Jesus? Your eternal life depends on the response that you give to this question. And I'm not saying that it depends on the intellectual response that you will give to this question. If you are able to express and communicate well what Jesus is about or who he is, But if that answer you give is a reflection of what you have in your heart, what do you say about him, about Jesus? If we will be able to ask this question to John the Evangelist, the author of this book, I think that he could answer this question in this way. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John was one of the witnesses of Jesus' glory. He said, we have seen this glory. This is why he can confess that this is the only Son of God, full of glory. But as he himself said, it wasn't only him who saw the glory of Jesus. He says, we have seen his glory. There were many with him who saw the glory of Christ, the other disciples, the apostles, but also many people in the multitude, and even the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who saw the glory of God in Christ, the glory of Christ himself, as he preached and as he displayed his glory through the miracles and the signs that he did when he was doing the works of God. But we know that when we ask, or if we were to ask the same question to many of the people around Jesus, not everybody would have had the same conclusion that John had when he says, we have seen his glory. Many people became Jesus' enemies, even in fact, by seeing his glory, by hearing his message, they hated Jesus. And we've seen that example as we have walked together through the book of John, that the Pharisees continue to grow in their hatred for Jesus because of what he is demonstrating before them, that he is God, that his message comes from God, that he came from God. What do you say about Jesus? I want you to think about this question today. What do you say about him? We're going to look at, in this passage, four testimonies, four answers given to the same question. Though only one person was asked that question, I don't want to call him again or continue to call him the blind man, because he wasn't blind anymore. Let's call him the healed man, the man who was healed by Christ. He was the only one who was asked that question. But there are four groups that answer the same question. Even indirectly, they are answering the same question. What did they say about Jesus? These four people were, first of all, the healed man, the man that was healed by Christ, who was asked the question directly. Then we have some of the Pharisees who, without being asked that question, even if in fact they were the ones who were asking the question, they also responded to the same question. We have others, we might assume that these are other Pharisees, they also had an answer for that question. And we have the parents of the healed man. They all answer the same question. What do you say about Jesus? First of all, the blind man. We heard that he was healed by Jesus, and we went to his people, his neighbors, and everybody was asking him, how is it that you can see now? And he was testifying to them that it was Jesus who actually did that miracle in his life. And we read from our text today that they, we could assume that they are probably his neighbors or some among their his neighbors who brought him to the Pharisees to ask the Pharisees why they think about this miracle. We don't know why they brought him, actually. We can assume that they are bringing him because they are sincerely curious about what they are seeing in front of them. Nobody have ever done something like Jesus did. And they needed to go to the authorities in religion, in miracles, in miraculous works, in the works of God. Who were they? The Pharisees. So they brought the blind man or the healed man to them. And they, the Pharisees, asked the man how he had received his sight. How he had received his sight. What was his answer? He had a very straightforward, fact-driven answer. He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. We know that there is more than that. Even before, to his neighbors, he expanded this version, but here he is in front of the religious leaders, and we know for what happened with his parents, he could smell, he could know what was coming behind their question. But they were not really seeking for an answer to know how this miracle happened. Therefore, he is just giving them facts. But as we are going to continue to see through the rest of this chapter in the following weeks, we are going to see how his answer evolves. And he continued to expand and even challenge the Pharisees if they wanted to follow Jesus because they were so curious about him. That's the first answer he gave to them, but that wasn't enough for the Pharisees. Therefore, they keep pushing, and they wanted to know what he could interpret about this healing. They are not just asking him, how is it that he can see right now? But they ask him that question. What do you say about him? What do you say about him is basically, what do you believe about him? What do you believe about what he did in your life? It is not just what he did, but tell us, what do you believe? Remember, and we will see it from the end of this test, that they have already, the religious leaders agree that anyone who confessed Jesus will be expelled out of the synagogues. Therefore, if the parents knew that, most likely he also knew this as well. And what is his answer to them? His answer is, he is a prophet. And I think that this is a good answer. It's not exactly, or it's not the complete answer of who Jesus is, because many people say that Jesus is a prophet, still they don't believe that he is God. For example, the Muslims will recognize Jesus as a prophet, but they will not acknowledge that he is the Son of God, who died and was resurrected and will return to establish his kingdom. But for this man who just met Jesus, it is a good answer. Basically, what he is saying with this answer is that he acknowledged that he comes from God. Prophets will be the higher office that he could have been exposed in his time. Even higher than the religious leaders. The religious leaders were students and teachers of the law of God. But a prophet will be a person who was appointed directly from God to deliver his message. Therefore, this man, of course, it makes sense that he would recognize that Jesus came from God. He knew himself, his brokenness. He knew that he had lived his entire life with blindness. And he encountered this man who was able to do for him what nobody had ever been able to do for him. Therefore, he confessed he is a prophet. He is from God. He is authentic. Again, he'll learn more about him. He'll learn more about Jesus. He'll learn to trust in Jesus as the Savior. But this is going to come later. Now, second, how about some of the Pharisees? What did they say about Jesus, some of the Pharisees? First of all, verse 14 tells us, John tells us, that it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. I was thinking about this during this week. I was thinking, how about if I was one of Jesus' disciples? Some of us enjoy confrontation. Some of us enjoy challenging each other. But there are some others who would rather go around and find a way to make peace with people and live in peace. I was wondering what I would have thought when Jesus did this on a Sabbath day. And of course, thinking that I had the knowledge the disciples had before they saw the resurrected Jesus, before they fully understood that Jesus was God. If I was one of them, with the limited knowledge that they had, probably I would have said, again, what about healing the man on Monday or Tuesday or another day? Doesn't he realize that this is just going to bring more challenges for us? These are unnecessary challenges that we have in our ministry. He can still do his miracles, but on a different day. Remember, I was saying that this is if my knowledge of Christ was as limited as the knowledge of the disciples. I think that some of the disciples probably thought about that. Some of them maybe who like the confrontation, they say, that's what we want to see happening, that we are confronting those who disbelieve Jesus. But Jesus did it on a Sabbath day because he was actually exposing a wrong understanding of what was to do the will of God. The Pharisees were not happy that Jesus was doing these works on the day of rest. Some of the Pharisees then said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Why would have they thought about this? Maybe here are probably two of their arguments. I'm not talking about their hearts, but maybe the arguments that they will use against Jesus. He took ground, he spit, he did mold, and then he put it in the eyes. That's work. Jesus worked on the Sabbath day. Therefore, he's breaking the Lord's day. There is another possibility. They thought, if he, the man, was in danger of losing his life, it was understandable that Jesus would do something for him. That would not mean that he broke the Sabbath. But this man was blind since birth. Therefore, Jesus didn't need to do this on the Lord's day or on the Sabbath day. They didn't understand this, that it was the day of Jesus. But the reality is that they have not understood that, as Jesus said in previous verses, he was there by doing that, by healing the man, doing the works of God. He was doing the will of God. We have seen in a previous incident when they also criticized Jesus for healing a man. And Jesus is saying, I'm making this man whole. And you still don't see what is happening in this man's life. Again, this statement that this group of people had, those Pharisees, this man is not from God, for he has not kept the Sabbath, is a direct answer to the question they asked to the blind or to the healed man. What do you say about Jesus? He is not from God. He is not from God. He is not keeping the Sabbath. They were legalistic. Imagine that. They could not see the glory of Christ in what had happened in front of their eyes. Maybe they didn't see it, but they have heard the testimonies and they have the man in front of them. They could not rejoice and give glory to God and praise God and even say some encouraging words to the blind man. All they could think is, what do you say about Jesus, Pharisees? He is not from God because he breaks the Sabbath. How about others? Maybe others who are other Pharisees. But others said in verse 16, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? You know, one of the things that I find always interesting and I love while reading the Word of God is to see how much the Pharisees and the religious leaders, by trying to accuse of Jesus of something, they end confessing something amazing about him. For example, you find in Luke chapter 5, verse 21, that the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, this is in reference to a man that Jesus healed. Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were completely right. That's why Jesus could forgive sins, because he was God alone. We also find in Acts 17, 6, when the disciples and Paul is attacked in Thessalonica, these words, and when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. They were completely right. Jesus have turned the world upside down because his message was a message of salvation. It was a message unique. Here these others who are trying to figure out who Jesus is say these things. How can a man who is a sinner do such things? They were completely right. A sinner will not be able to do what Jesus did. Now think about this. They were looking at Jesus, and when they say a sinner, they are thinking on their standard. They are not saying that Jesus or somebody have to be sinless. They are saying that at least have to meet what they understand to be a good person. A sinner will be a Gentile. But for them, a person who keeps externally the law of God is not a sinner. They don't realize that they were actually in front of the sinless man, the man without sin, Jesus, the Holy One, the set apart, but also the one who is perfect, who have no sin. On the other hand, I would say that this argument works until today as we understand who Jesus is. If Jesus was not really who he said he was, basically that he confessed that he was God, and he would have done all the miracles and the signs that he did, do you really think that God would allow a sinner to do the things that Jesus would have done? Of course not. Therefore, when they are saying, how can a man who is a sinner do such things, they were actually giving an answer to the question, what do you say about Jesus? What do you say about Jesus? Only a man who is not a sinner can do the things that Jesus did. Fourth, then we have the parents. Here in verse 18, we see and becomes more clear for us that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were not really interested in learning who Jesus was. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received the sight. Until what they do now is they look for the parents. Why are they looking for the parents? Are they looking for the parents because they are interested in seeing what the parents will say as a confirmation that, yes, Jesus had the power to heal the man? No, they are looking for the parents because they are trying to find if the parents will contradict what the man is confessing. Therefore, they will be able to use that against Jesus. They go to the parents and ask them, is this your son who you say was born blind? Is this real? First of all, let me ask you, is this your son? Yes. Now, do you say that he was born blind? Yes. How then does he see? How is it that he can see right now? Explain to us. Remember the context of this question. We find it in verse 22. I think that is helpful for us to read 22 verse before we read 21. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. Why? Because the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Basically, he would be excommunicated. How did the parents answer to the question? What do you say about Jesus? Of course, the Pharisees are not asking them that question. The Pharisees are asking them about the son. But they will answer the question also about Jesus. We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. There is no doubt about that. But how he now sees, we do not know. Think about this. How he now sees, we do not know. Then you jump to 22. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. Which means that they knew. They knew. Of course, the son would have come to them, would have shared with them, would have shared with them that it was Jesus who did this thing. His parents, better than anybody, have experienced the struggle of seeing their son blind. And remember from previous verses, he was a beggar. Therefore, he was blind, and the only way he could support himself was asking for money out there. Therefore, his parents, more than anyone beside the son, should have been rejoicing, right? About their son being able to see, finally being able to see. And I'm not here going after the parents, because they were really afraid of the consequences of confessing Jesus. What was to happen to them if they have already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ? So therefore they were afraid that they accepting that Jesus was the one who healed the son will be as if they were confessing Jesus. What was their answer? Go ask him. He is of age. If you are a little bit suspicious about how much they love him, I think that you could think, wow, they are sending him, they are sending them to their son. How about what is going to happen to their son when he confesses? The reality is that they were struggling to answer that question. What do you say about Jesus? I know that he healed my son, but probably I don't want to tell you right now because I am afraid. And many Christians will struggle with a similar question and circumstances where they will be confronted with confessing Jesus. But their life will be at risk by saying, yes, I trust Jesus. Now, my question for you is simple. What do you say about Jesus? Think about this for a moment. You might think that this is a question that is to be asked to a person who is a seeker or a person who is just understanding who Jesus is right now, or a person who is just hearing Jesus for the first time. And just hear Jesus and you ask that question and you are expecting that that person will confess Jesus as their Savior and Lord. But I think that this is a question that we all need to ask and answer ourselves every day of our lives. Think about this. If you would have been asked this question 10 years ago, if you have been a Christian, let's say 15, 20 years ago, or for 20 years, And what would you have answered at that time? And what you could answer today? The facts won't change. If you trusted in Jesus as God, as the Savior, as our Redeemer, if you understood Christ there, in that way, you can say that that will not change until today. But the reality is that we all grow in our own understanding, or our understanding of Jesus, every day of our life. Every time we encounter the Word of God and we encounter Christ in the Word of God, Jesus is helping us to expand our knowledge and our understanding and making it more personal of who He is for us. Therefore, you are answering to this question every day of your life. When you struggle, when you face challenges, you have the question, what do you say about Him? When your faith is put a test, you answer that question, what do you say about Him? And I'm sure that if you have been a Christian for some time already, by this point you realize that that has grown. Your understanding, your intimacy with Christ, and I hope it is. But also, if you are not yet a Christian, this is, as I said, the most consequential question that you will ever answer. It is a question that anybody or everybody in the world at some point will have to answer. Because there is only one way. There is only one truth. He is the light. He is the way. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say about Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Your love, compassion for us, You send Your only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You displayed Your glory in everything that You did while You were on earth. And many were witnesses of that glory. And they shared this with others, and others with others. And today we read it in Your Word, and we have heard from many people. Why? Because You are our Lord, and our Savior, and our Redeemer. We thank You for that. But we thank You also that You have given us the Holy Spirit, that give us faith and understanding of who You are. We acknowledge, Lord, that if it was not for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we would have a similar or worse answer than the Pharisees to that question, what do we say about You? But it is because in Your mercy You have given us understanding. Now we can say, You are our Lord. We pray, Lord, for those that still don't know You. We pray that You may send the Holy Spirit into their hearts, so they will also join us answering to that question, You are our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.